Doctor.
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 And doctor. Well, we miss anyone?
He's Northwestern Medicine VP. Call Dr. Morse right now.
Hawks keep losing in overtime. Keep picking up one point at a time. Need two. So how about two tickets for you? We'll do that coming up. Free tickets to the Hawks and the Caps. You get announced, get on a roll. Dr. Kevin Most joins us now, and young Jerry Most, your nephew. I think the team may have to consult him soon.
I'll tell you, he's a good kid. I think he knows more about hockey than I do, so it wouldn't be a bad move. You know, I could talk to Jay. Why don't you ask Jay if he could use him?
I'm not. Well, I mean, Jay's all over it. I'm sure he's already hired him, or at least made him an offer.
Jerry, part of Hockey Ops.
Right. And how old is hockey Jerry now?
He's six. Yep.
Well, they like to start him young. So,
yeah.
Dr. Kevin Most, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, the pursuit of better health care starts
black
here.
Black lung, Papa.
So, all right, now, a couple of things. There is a rare medical condition that came up in the news yesterday, which is sort of fascinating. Seems to be trauma-based. Comes out of China. A woman in China lost her ability to hear men's voices.
Yeah, about it.
And I think it seems to be trauma related. It seems to be temporary, but I can think of a lot of women who may hope they get this.
Yeah, it seems convenient.
Yeah, and it's an extremely rare condition called reverse slope hearing loss. One out of every 12,000 people, 15,000 people. The weird thing is that just some of those tones that they don't hear. And like you said, there's probably some women that said, "Hey, if you can make a drug that will do this,
that I only
sign me up,
that I can time out and schedule."
Right. Temporary, so it does it for a while. I think many women still have this, to tell you the truth. I mean, I know women in our lives have selective hearing when we're talking.
Yeah, because we never do.
Right.
Yeah, we're completely innocent. Let's talk flu here. We had another child, I guess it was last week, could have been the week before, who died because of the flu. I think there's been three little ones in Illinois. Is that right?
Yeah, one just recently here in Aurora, a little three-year-old, which is unfortunate, but it also just brings forward to everybody that influenza is not just a simple little cold and that we really need to be aware. Even if you don't want to get a flu shot for yourself, get it for the infants that you're going to be around, or get it for the seniors that you're going to be around so that you don't spread it to them.
I think that's important because I hadn't considered that before. I always thought it selfishly for my own health was the flu shot, but carrying it to somebody that's more vulnerable is really scary.
Well, you're the one that thinks once you've exposed people to a cold, you can still come around to work. So
I know, but I don't want to.
I think we ought to get you two flu shots just so you don't expose the rest of us.
Yes.
Yeah, but Mary brings up a really good point. People often think about, oh, it doesn't work. And, you know, okay, fine. If you personally don't want to, that's fine. But think about the others around you. And those of you who haven't gotten a flu shot, when flu hits, stay away from the seniors. Stay away from those infants because you can have the influenza and be spreading it 2 days before the symptoms come out. So you have to be really careful if you did not get a flu shot this year.
Hey, Doc, we talked at the beginning of this flu season about how the medical community and vaccination, how it all works, how they predict what's going to be the strand. Do you know, as you're in the middle of the season, as we get more and more patients with flus to come out, if that worked, if the actual predictions were accurate?
Yeah. And Justin, it's a great question because people always say, did we hit it? Did we miss it? Did we hit it? Did we miss it? Well, this year we appear, at least for this portion of it, that we hit it. So a lot of influenza A right now, and it's the same strain that's in the vaccine, which is great news for anybody who got the flu shot.
And we did, thanks to you.
Thanks to you, yeah.
Yeah. But it's one of those where, oh, I want to see if it's the right or not. But you have to realize you have a two-week opportunity. But all of the strains that have been identified, 97% of them have been the exact same strain, and it's been the strain that is in the vaccine, which is really good news this year.
What's Exofluza?
Yeah, how about that? You know, we used to talk about Tamiflu. You had to take it right away, twice a day for 5 days. So Exofluza is actually a one-time drug for influenza. Same thing. You have to take it within 2 days, but you only have to take one medication, one pill. Now, people say, well, the compliance will go up, and this is going to be great. Yeah, but also you're going to get hit pretty hard because it's $150, although they're giving a coupon to get that down to the same price as Tamiflu for this season.
How do you know you should take it if symptoms haven't presented themselves yet?
Yeah, you don't. You really don't know when to take it until you have the full-blown flu. So the people that are spreading the virus and really don't know that they're spreading it, it's not like we can run around and continue to take this medication. Some people in the past, as you remember, when we've had a lot of outbreaks, and if you're going to be around people, we were saying take Tamiflu just to protect yourself and others. It'll be interesting to see if people do the same with this, because we don't know really how long it works.
How's the mist? We've got the mist. Is the mist available?
Well, the mist is available this year, and if you remember when we did our initial talk on influenza, it was interesting. Mist had been taken out for 2 years because it wasn't seemed to be effective, although they continued it in Europe. Well, it came back this year after it's been reformatted. But I'll tell you about bad timing. Timing for journal articles sometimes lags. So the journal article in Pediatrics last week came out talking about flu mist and that it didn't work. Well, it didn't work in 13, 14, 14, 15, 15, 16, but they reformatted it. So now all these parents out there saying, wait a second, I just had my child immunized with flu mist, and now you're telling me it's not working. Well, that was the study that showed that it didn't work, that took it out of circulation. Now it's been reformatted.
And obviously the CDC and other folks involved feel that this is a workable situation, right? The mist is back.
Absolutely. You know, we're keeping our fingers crossed, unfortunately, because the CDC has said that they've looked at it and it appears to be okay. This will be a big year for flu mist as to whether it continues or it goes back.
All right, let's do this. 6:51, we'll come back. You've seen the calorie count on your menus, where you get engaged in restaurants or, you know, fast food joints, whatever. How about a hospital that posts its prices? Is that going to come to every hospital, and can you figure it out? Kevin Moe, story this weekend as well, Doc, that hospitals are starting to post their price. Is that here or other places?
That's everywhere. Yeah, that's everywhere. So federal law went into place January 1st that said that hospitals must post a list of their charges.
Doesn't that keep patients in longer because they get sick when they see what they're paying for things?
Yeah, I'll tell you, they think it was a good idea, but I'm not so sure about it. And I'm all for transparency, believe me, but health insurance has changed so dramatically over the past 20 years. You know, the old 80-20 insurance policies are pretty much gone. We all have negotiated rates, negotiated discounts, limits on sites of service, pre-authorization of tests, co-pays, high deductibles, HMO, PPOs. I mean, let's try to make it as confusing as we can for people. So even when you see a list, and you believe me, most hospitals make it very difficult to find it, they have to do it, but when you see it, it's still very confusing because it's not what you pay.
Is it the coding thing you told us about years ago? Is that part of the confusion?
Part of it is coding. So it's like, especially for, say, for Medicare patients, Medicare pays a set amount for what they call a DRG, a diagnosis-related group. There's many of them. So if you have pneumonia and you're on a Medicare patient, the hospital gets paid whatever that DRG is. That's it. That's all they're getting. Now, the hospital may post a price that's three times that higher than that, but that's not what's happening. The negotiated price with Medicare is X. Charge whatever you want, you're only getting X.
So is Congress just doing this to look good to their constituents? I mean, it doesn't seem like it has any practical real good to the rest of us.
Correct. And as a matter of fact, it can have some negative things. If you think of the individual that's saying, you know what, I want to shop around. I want to see who has the lowest price colonoscopy, and that's where I'm going to go have it done. One, your doctor has to be on that medical staff, not just the hospital itself. Two, you might look at that price and go, wow, this is way too high. I am not going to get it. I am going to postpone this. I'm going to wait another year. When in fact, it's covered by their insurance. So it can have more harm than good in some cases.
Doc, is a big picture question. Is this something that, when you think about that system, the way that prices have been negotiated and the way that the health insurance companies and doctors deal with each other, is it time to rethink the way that payment works?
That's a great question, Justin. I think you have got so many insurance companies so intertwined, such a business around it, that would be difficult to do, but it sure would be nice for the public to go back to a very simple way to do it so that we actually can make financial decisions based on our health with good information, which we don't right now. Will it change? It possibly could, but like I said, this is a huge business.
Yeah, and that's going to prevent things from going the easy way, for sure. The hard way is the only way that this seems to go down. What about sales, Doc? Maybe you could just have a sales occasionally, like all hernia checks, $99.95.
Right. Well, you know, it is it's interesting when you say that. And you talk to hospitals and say, when are you the most busy? And we're busy, very busy in November and December. And people say, well, why? Are people getting sick? No. People have hit their deductible at that point. Now they see their deductible being reset on January 1st. So instead of having a sale, you have this onslaught of people who are trying to get conditions taken care of and treatments done and procedures done before January 1st and the reset of their deductible.
Yeah, I had a situation this weekend with the deductible, you know, not being met, obviously, in January, where because of the blood clot hereditary thing that I have, there's a particular drug that I take that without insurance is quite expensive, and it's not, the deductible hasn't been met. So I believe I won some sort of prize at Walgreens. They all came over to the window going, oh, yes, yes. Anything you want from the S scene on TV aisle.
It is a little painful in January and February for a lot of people. Yeah.
I'll tell you what, Doc, you're not getting a birthday present this year. I can promise you that. Thank you, my friend.
You got it. We'll talk to you guys soon.
Dr. Kevin Moe, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. And by the way, coming up, Stories That Matter with Steve Grzanich from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio.